Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey,
yeah. We got them screaming, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We your number one spot. We your number one spot for some sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two, we in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We your number one spot.
Talk to me, baby. Where y'all at? Where y'all at? One time. Let's get him again. And three times for the Friday vibe. We welcome you in here to the Friday, June 14th edition of D'Lo and KC. I'm Damian Barling.
The ultimate needle mover in God Mode himself.
He's Kenny Caraway.
Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
Man, and we in here, boy. We got a...
The Larry O'Brien Trophy is in the building.
Indeed it is. Indeed it is, man.
And it's not staying.
It always gets real when that Larry O is in the building.
It's it's headed on the plane back to Dallas.
Back to Boston, excuse me.
I got
shout out to Laker fans out there. I got game 6, 2008 vibes tonight. I think they're blowing out the Mavericks. Oh,
yeah, I got you. I kind of felt that way at the end of game 3. Like, hey, look it. Monica got promoted.
Monica's back. Monica was doing a basketball game last night.
What game was she doing?
The one that was on the Storm and the Wings.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear any of that game.
No, I just saw her on.
Man, we got a busy day. Kyle Madsen will be with us in a couple minutes. Connor Sutton's going to join us in the 1 o'clock hour. Gus Armstead at 2 o'clock. Will Z right after that. James Hamm. We kicking it today, man. We having fun. Friday vibes are in full effect. And as Casey said, the Larry O'Brien is in the building, and a lot of people are of the belief that this will be the last game of the NBA season. A culmination of sorts for the Boston Celtics on a phenomenal season, despite the amount that they were discredited along the way. A phenomenal playoff run, despite the fact the almost anticipation of them kind of blowing it. And I'll throw something at you as we look at Luka Doncic sitting down with Malika Andrews here on our TV. There was a lot of really dumb talk about most important game of Kyrie Irving's career leading into game 3. I did think it was dumb. That man played in game 7 against the winningest team in regular season history. But we spent a stunning amount of time yesterday talking about Luka Doncic. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to go first take on you or Greeny and ask you if this is the most important game in Luka Doncic's career. But does tonight's game shape the perception of Luka Doncic moving forward? And I ask that with the thought of the interview we just saw on the screen. We listened to a little bit yesterday during our show. You know, we were able to watch it in full when the show was over. And it's like, okay, you're saying the right things. Are you going to be able to execute? We're not talking about like what he can do. I'm not even looking at what he could do on the defensive end. I mean, and we certainly don't need to look at what he could do on the offensive end. But if the third quarter rolls around and he picks up foul number 4 or foul number 3, or there's something he doesn't agree with, and he starts yelling at officials or yelling at the bench or yelling at teammates, it throws that entire conversation he had with Malika out the window.
Very true. I mean, for some, it may be affected by what happens tonight. For me, it's not. And that's not to say it ever will.
But I'm not talking about your perception, because you've been very, very honest about how you felt about Luka Doncic since the birth of this show. I'm talking about the perception.
Well, I think if it changes the perception, people are ridiculous. And maybe people are ridiculous. One game.
The most important game of Kyrie Irving's career. Yes, people are ridiculous. Well,
one game shouldn't shape how people feel.
But it's not one game, though. But that's my point, though. It's not one game. Mm-hmm. People are seeing, and I don't know if it's the stage. I don't know what it is. But people are seeing things that you've been saying, things that have been discussed about Luka Doncic in different circles. They're like, it's like Winhurst. Mm-hmm. Winhurst, it was like, yeah, that was pretty tough criticism. He didn't, you know, despite the funny video, he didn't hit him with Meet the Grams. Like, he was just like, yo, he's embarrassing on defense. That's the meanest thing anyone ever said about Luka. And that's like, okay, it's been there. Everybody knows it's been there. Mm-hmm. Now y'all talking about it. Is that going to be the conversation around Luka Doncic now?
So
he's going to be a great offensive player who, when it comes time, he's not going to help you win.
So my mistake, maybe I misunderstood the question, because I thought you were saying Winhorse is saying what he's saying after game three. Mm-hmm. And if Luka is a model basketball citizen in game four, like, oh no, he figured it out now. He figured it out. I thought that's what you were saying.
No, well, oh God, if that happens.
that's what I thought you were saying.
No, what I meant, though, more that's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But does it quiet down? Like, you got this response after game three. They could lose, mm-hmm. but if Luka's nice and he's not yelling at officials, he's focused on his game, maybe he's slightly more engaged on the defensive end. I don't think it's an off-season discussion. Mm-hmm. Not to a serious degree. I don't think what you just suggested happens, because if it does, then just blow this whole sports media thing up. But I think that discussion, it's Luka's got to be better. But if it's a repeat of game three, for example. Mm-hmm. I think that's the loudest conversation around Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks this offseason.
Oh, for sure. If it's a repeat of game three, mm-hmm. if we see the same things, then absolutely, I agree with you on that. Brian Windhorst, later in that clip, kind of, I don't know how he's going to look. Like, he didn't say it as if he was going to let Luka off the hook. But he, I guess SVP asked him, he said, is it over on Friday? He said, do I talk to you on Monday for game five or something like that? And Windhorst was like, I want to see how Luka comes out. I want to see how he performs in game four and all this other stuff. And that kind of lends to, like, what I was just talking about. Like, if he's plays good and is on his best behavior, there might be some people who say, oh, that's the Luka we need. That he figured it out. When I speak about Luka, I don't want to make it as if I don't think that he can have an awakening and change the way he approaches the game. Well, all I'm saying, and I think you understand this, is he's not going to do anything for me tonight with mm-hmm. with my perception. Like, mm-hmm. the perception is what it is. How I feel about him and where I think he's at as a ball player emotionally and mentally and being a leader, that's not going to change after one game. Hell, if they win this game and he does the same thing in game five and a loss, it's not going to change then either. It's going to take some time. He's going to have to show some things. And I think that's going to be, to your original point, the conversation about Luka in the offseason. And it may follow him throughout the regular season. Like, it may be something that he doesn't shake until mm-hmm. he gets into a playoff round, a playoff series, and shows that the pressures of those moments don't get to him.
We just lived that with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They were by far and away the best team in the league all year. No one cared because they had to get here.
Yeah.
I wonder if it takes another series like this for Luka. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. But I think there's also two, you said That's the Luka we need. He's figured it out. I think those can be two separate things. Mm-hmm. I think you can have a conversation following tonight if it's appropriate. That's the Luka they need. Mm-hmm. It's got to end there, though. Because if you hit us with a, he figured it out a series ago mm-hmm. for like a game or maybe a game and a half. Mm-hmm. But clearly, based on, this is the second time this playoff run that this has been a conversation.
Yeah.
His talking with officials, him getting himself in foul trouble. This isn't the first time in this playoff run that this conversation has happened.
Right.
So anything past that's the Luka the Mavericks need is ridiculous.
No, I agree. Speaking of Luka, little bit of a side note. Did you see what I retweeted on Twitter? I think it was last night where somebody tweets footage of Luka. And they're like, "What happened?"
King KC916.
But it's obviously I retweeted. It was jarring to see. It was Luka in the bubble, and it was like he looks like a completely different player. And I didn't even really notice it until I saw these highlights from him going up. He's slimmer. He's faster. He's working on defense. He's shifty. It is jarring, and he's figured something else out because he's still averaging 30-something points in the regular season and in the playoffs, and he's figured out a different way to play the game. But it was just the visual of the way he played 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. It's like, this guy looks like a completely different player. It's crazy to see.
He is slimmer. I'm 40 seconds in, and it's a lot of offensive highlights.
Well, that hasn't changed. But the way he moves on offense, like he looks faster.
Oh, okay. So there's nothing on the defensive end in here.
He has a defensive stop at some point. Like he rips somebody.
Wow, he really is.
He has a whole steal.
He really is. He's very noticeably slimmer. I don't think I ever thought. I thought he always looked like
me too.
This.
Me too. Until I saw that video, and the guy in the comment was like, he looks like a completely different player. He really does, physically, and just look at how he's moving. Like he's just it's jarring to see.
It's oh my God. Wow.
That was only 4 years ago or five years ago.
No, it was 4 years ago. Right? You said this is the bubble.
The bubble, yeah.
Wow, yeah, this is something.
And like I said, it's not like he turned into a bum because he's still MVP candidate, but he just looks different.
I guess I kind of want to stall him out. I mean, I don't know. I don't have an answer. It's not like he went from 26 to 30 in that 4 years, you know, when things can change in that time frame. He went from 21 to 25.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. This is 21-year-old Luka Doncic doing this.
He looked crazy. Maybe I didn't appreciate it at the time or something.
Wow.
He was going crazy
that's
in the
amazing.
Bubble.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
And once again, I want to reiterate, he's figured something else out because the guy's averaging 32.
Well, no, he's still
like –
but that's not your point. The point is the way he looks and the way he moves. Like, he's not De'Aaron Fox, but he's moving.
Right.
Oh, it's fascinating.
Just shifty as hell.
It's fascinating. I know people pick on his weight a lot. Like I said, I just felt like that's what he always looked like.
Mm-hmm. That's what I thought too.
He's not, you know, LeBron or Paolo or one of those guys. Yeah. He's just kind of.
Until I saw that last night, I would have never thought he looked any different in his career.
Me either. Interesting. We'll come back. Kyle Madsen joins us. Steelin' with Casey. Brought to you by Sky River Casino here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Well, Matt's in here. Dilo and KC. You know, we could continue. Kyle came in and said, hey, can you put the soccer game that's on Fox on the TV? Okay, sure. And then that just launched a conversation about soccer and America's interest in it. And Connor Sutton's going to be with us an hour to talk Republic.
Yeah, shout out Connor Sutton. But no, I mentioned like Bill Simmons was talking about how like he's been hearing his whole life soccer is about to take over America. And I've been hearing the same thing. And it has grown in popularity for sure, but it's still – it's still not one of the top three. Is it four in America?
No.
Really?
Yeah, it's behind hockey still.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, because what are we talking to, like, as far as like ratings?
I'm not
like,
sure I agree with that.
The leagues
there's
in England
popularity, like can we?
Because the MLS
go
won't
down,
be.
Can we go to any local sports bar? Can we go to Tom's Watch Bar? Can we go to 32 Brews and go anywhere in that place and have a discussion on soccer?
A discussion?
Soccer. Yeah.
Maybe not a good one. Like, don't talk to me. Like, not if you.
But
like,
that's what I'm saying. Like people that understand what's going on or understand the league. Or
but you can have one with Jesse. Like, you can have one with, you know, Chris. Like, there are guys who, like, I think there are more than we realize. I just don't know that this is what we were talking about during the commercial. I don't know that the investment to learn everything about every player, about every little thing. He was the last player selected. He's Mr. Irrelevant and, you know, whatever. He only makes $4 million compared to the $400 million that so-and-so made. Like, I don't know if that is... I don't know that that happens in the same way it happens in other sports.
And what I just asked is probably a little regional. Like, if I said the same thing about hockey, you might be able to have...
Here.
More, yeah, here in Sacramento, you might be able to have... like a more in-depth conversation about soccer than you would hockey. But if we were in Philadelphia,
right,
you might
or Washington,
have, like,
yep,
they'll tell you everything
facts
about the
point
NHL.
Facts. Yeah.
So I don't know. I think they're close.
Yeah, I think the NHL is just still a tick ahead of MLS, but I think in 5 years.
Oh, ahead of MLS for sure.
Soccer's about to take over.
No, no, ahead of MLS for sure. But it's crazy because, like,
yeah, I wasn't
talking
MLS either. I was talking,
yeah, like, The world game, EPL,
oh,
all that
oh,
other
yeah,
stuff.
No. Then if you're talking, then
in
yeah,
America,
soccer's probably got hockey for sure.
In America.
Okay, that okay.
Okay, I thought we were ranking the majors.
No. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So do you agree with that?
I think it's even. Because okay, like I said, you go on the East Coast.
But I think you could probably have the same conversation about soccer in Philadelphia.
Probably.
I think the conversation, you'd find more people more locked into the Flyers.
I agree. Yeah, and but I think there's only a hint. Like, Florida's about to win Florida. I don't think you could have this conversation in Florida.
I don't think so.
Like, you could have it in Washington. You could have it in Philadelphia.
But I would say from Chicago,
Boston.
From Chicago to Boston, you know, and staying up there, you could have the hockey conversation more than you could have the soccer conversation. And we're
okay,
talking,
but
Black
I think
Hawks,
you could have
we're
them both.
Talking about...
I think you could have them both, but I hear
okay
you. Yeah, no,
I
hear you.
No,
yeah,
I,
yeah,
I
the,
think it's
the
close.
Blackhawks, like those are the ones.
The original like
those,
six.
Those four right there are the ones. Who's? I don't think I even know the answer to this. Who's bigger in Boston? Do you know?
No, no.
Go ahead and ask your question, Dame.
I
don't
did
like these kids.
I did.
That was Kyle who did that.
Who's bigger in Boston?
Bigger,
like
bigger in Boston between who?
The Bruins and the Celtics.
Ooh. Oh. Dang.
I genuinely don't know the answer to that.
I don't know. I assume it's the Celtics.
Celtics.
I don't
but
think,
I think it's close.
I'm not sure that it is, to be honest.
I think here's how I think the... I think the most diehard.
I know
Bruins
someone I can
fan,
ask.
I think let's get Kevin O'Connell in here.
Yeah, that's
who, that's who, not who Bill I'm
Simmons
asking.
Oh,
Bill Simmons.
I feel like
Bill.
I feel like
yes,
the
I'm texting Bill Simmons. That's what's happening.
I feel like the most hardcore Bruins fan is probably more of a hardcore fan than a hardcore Celtics fan. Mm. But I'm guessing there's way more casual Celtics fans than there are casual Bruins fans.
Does
that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Am I following? Did that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's a good chance that text I sent is returned Tuesday. So
you texted Kenny?
Stay tuned for that.
No. Oh, don't do that.
Yeah, that's a good one right there.
Oh, that's fascinating. That's fascinating.
What's the... Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say I do like soccer. It's just every time, yeah. I actually enjoy because I don't make enough of an effort to sit down and watch an entire soccer match.
Yeah, yeah.
But when I do, it's very enjoyable.
It's such a great TV sport. There's no commercials.
It's perfect.
It's a good. You can leave the room for 5 minutes and come back and not have missed anything. And I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just like,
well, it's a shoot though.
You can, but you can watch it more casually as a casual fan. If you're a diehard German supporter here, mm-hmm. and you're going to be locked into every minute of the game. But mm-hmm. if you're me, you're just like, yeah, hey, this game's on. It's the crowd noise is cool, and oh, there's a goal, that was fun. But I don't have the time and energy to, and at this point in my life, I'm not going to become a diehard Man U fan. I just don't. I don't care.
Well, they got a huge problem with that here. Well, at least for me in America. Number one, I love watching the Republic. I'm not just saying it. Like I watch them. I got their. You know, the setup to record on a DVR. Mm-hmm. I watch my Republic games, but I don't watch the rest of the USL, mm-hmm. and I don't watch the MLS. And I tried to get into the EPL, and every year it happens. It's the running joke here on the show. I'll probably try it again this year. It takes about 2 or 3 weeks, and I'm locked in. I'm watching. And then college football week one happens. And it's over. It's over. They play on Saturdays. The college football starts, you know, in September, whatever the case may be. And then I'm out. And I think then NFL is right behind it. And I think that's an issue for a lot of people in
I'd be interested in to see if that changes if and when Republic becomes an MLS team.
Oh, they'll get a lot more.
Oh, that'll change.
Like
yeah.
But for like you specifically, mm-hmm. Is that going to change that viewing habit of like week zero of college football? Oh, I need to watch Alabama against Rice.
A little bit, but what they do here, which I think is a good idea, and I think it helps out, is the MLS and the USL seasons are in the spring and summer.
Mm-hmm.
So even if I am missing, you know, week 18 of the USL or whatever, the playoffs mm-hmm. are right around the corner, and I'm watching the playoffs. Week two of the EPL going up against week zero of college football, and then moving forward, it just loses every time.
I see what you're saying.
So MLS
okay,
and USL are in the summer. I get, you know, I'm mm-hmm. I can watch a lot of their season.
Yeah.
And then by the time the playoffs, I'm invested, so I want to see how it finishes and stuff like that. EPL starting at around the same time as football season is tough for me, for a guy like myself.
Yeah.
I think it's different when it's, and we've talked about this before, when it's in Sacramento when it's ours.
True.
Like, yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
It'll and you know, we've talked about this, and these are waters we'll all navigate when the A's are here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It'll be different while the A's are ours than it will be if they wind up going to Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
The
well, except for those 7 games they come back to play in Sacramento.
Up to 8.
Oh, that's a great idea. John Fisher.
What an idiot.
It's a great idea.
Good God.
He actually only wants to play 4 games a year in Las Vegas. that's He's like, awesome. It's really too hot.
It's like, really? It's just
too hot.
We're going to do more of a like remote work situation.
Yeah, just schedule us the weekend that Adele is here and we'll be here.
We'll come into the office once a year.
Yeah. What he's doing is what I used to do.
Like Odyssey account house. Executives. We'll just show up once in a while.
I used to do that at my grandmother's house. So, you know, in the summers, I'm playing baseball and I'm the Giants, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if I play in the backyard, there's different configurations to the stadium, right?
Like, of course.
There's a different wall, there's mm-hmm. a different this and that, mm-hmm. da-da-da-da. And I would play, you know, half the time there. Sometimes I would get to play in the front yard if there's, like, no cars in the way and stuff like that. And that's another different configuration. So I would, you know, I'm announcing the games because I'm an only child and this is what weird only children do sometimes. And you know, I go in the backyard to play a game, then I play in the front yard. I'm like, oh, and this game is being played in grandma's front yard stadium here. That's what the A's want to do in real life. Like they want to play in grandma's backyard for some games and grandma's front yard and for some games. Never seen anything like it.
It's nuts. You know what's
all
even,
I got out of that story was you've been talking your entire life.
Oh, that's you know who else am I gonna talk to?
You know what's even, myself. You know what's a sadder version of that? Is when you're doing what you're talking about and you're doing sports and you're broadcasting it to yourself because you're an only child.
Yep, yep.
Except when you have a brother who couldn't care less about sports, who's inside. And then when you come inside, he's like, weird ass. That's even worse.
I
at least you didn't have anybody telling you how weird
I was just there by myself. I told you, I think I told the audience, I don't know if I told Kyle, I used to do the Mike Fratello Telestrator on my TV as I was playing video games. So if, and this was Bulls versus Lakers, you know, Jordan would make a move or whatever the case may be, I'd go to the replay function, I'd pause it, and I'd say, now see, and I'd get a Sharpie and write on the, I'd be like, now see, look, boom, he circles here, and this is where he made the play, and then boom, boom, boom.
And how'd that go over in the house?
You drew it
went fine
because
it was my TV. Oh. It was my TV. And
so hold up. So when you tried to watch a movie, there was just Telestrator Sharpie all over it?
No, the crazy thing about it was it just wiped off. It was never an issue.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say it wasn't a Sharpie then. Maybe just a little Kenny Caraway magic.
TV's family had to keep going through TVs because he's always covered in Sharpie every
dude,
time.
Hey, his family maybe, buying new TVs and moving them in without him noticing.
So look.
Got to hide the Sharpies like his knives and stuff.
Man, we knew you were rich, but holy crap. This new TV.
My Monday TV and my Tuesday TV.
This was literally on like a 13-inch black and white TV. And
I
was
had
like,
one of those.
I was like, oh, I'm going to do this.
Yep.
And I did it. And then I was like, okay, let me take a paper towel, wet it a little bit, wipe it off. And it came off. I was like, I'm doing this all the time. Mm-hmm. This is awesome.
I kind of want to try it right now.
Oh, no, I don't think it worked right now.
Because the
TVs back in the day, wasn't that glass?
Yeah, you're not even supposed to touch a screen today.
Yeah.
Wasn't that glass?
It was like, yeah. Now it's not. Now it's like something, if you put your hand on it, it's going to like shatter in 1,000 pieces.
Isn't that the worst when you buy a TV? They're like, make sure to lean it back. Also, don't use any hands to lift it.
Yeah, Brad. Yeah, that's what it was.
You
when we
have
were,
to put it on the thing, but don't touch
just
it.
Just very carefully put your hand on the edge of the TV that's about that big, and get it up there on that mount that you just put on your wall. No, everything will be fine. You got it. Like, you got it.
Don't touch it. Wait, no, not like that.
There's gonna have to be some fingerprints on this thing, else it's just gonna fall. I'm sorry. Real quick. What's did you guys see the crazy little situation? Not crazy, but ironic. Very cool situation. Of the guy who plays for the Panthers and Jason Tatum going to high school together.
Oh, yeah.
And they're both up 3-0 in
Matthew
their championship.
Oh, that's dope.
I'm going to botch a lot.
To Chuck.
And they got a picture of
Big
them like, on the school bus together.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah.
That's pretty
cool. I didn't know the context to that picture, but I saw it. That's dope.
That is dope.
Okay, very good. We were just talking about this a moment ago on your show. You've got this thing wrapping up tonight?
Yeah.
Is there anything you're watching for? We were talking about Luka. We spent really a stunning amount of time yesterday talking about Luka Doncic and how it really feels like he's being very, very openly criticized for the first time in his career about the flaws in his game. If he has a performance similar to game 3, and I'm not talking about 27 points on 27 shots or anything like that, those things are going to happen. I'm talking more about 5 fouls, 6, or potentially fouling out, the bickering with the...
It just has a 48-minute temper tantrum.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Do you think the perception on Luka is starting to change?
Yeah, I think a little bit. But I think he's always going to be... Like he's averaging what in his career? Like 28, 8, and 8,
yeah,
or whatever it is. It's just he's always going to be that guy who everybody goes, well, Luka is one of the best players in the world. They're going to try and get him an MVP, this and that. But to your point, I think now that we've seen him in this setting, once you're in this setting, how you perform in the finals is now just who you are as a player.
Mm.
If Lucas stinks it up again tonight the way he did in game 3, next year Dallas could make the finals. Dallas could win 70 games and make the finals. And there's going to be a section of people who are like, if Luka's going to melt down again, that's just who he's going to be in a big spot, and he's going to have to play his way out of that. Yeah. And you can. I mean, we're seeing Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown do it right now. Yeah. They're playing their way out of that. Like, oh, I got to see it from the Celtics.
Right.
I think that's just what it's going to be with Luka.
But, I mean, that's going to be the thing, right? Like, for a certain section of people, they won't believe it until –
Exactly.
He's hoisting the Larry O'Brien.
Yeah.
And the other thing with Luka though is, for me personally, he can be the same player, have the same mannerisms, and do all that stuff, and they win. You know what I mean? Like I don't think. Like they're in the NBA Finals. Luka didn't just start doing this. He didn't just start behaving this way in game 2. He didn't just start not playing defense. He's always been this type of player, and they're in the NBA Finals. So it's not conceivable for me that he doesn't change And they still find a way to win.
Inconceivable. It's not inconceivable for you. Yeah. I got you. Okay. Just wanted to say, you said it's not conceivable. Well, they're two very different things. I want to make sure you can see this happening again.
Yes.
Right? That's the thing. You can see this happening again.
Like, he's just that talented for sure. Mm-hmm. I don't think he could never win with this, but that's what the perception is going to be for sure.
So how did they get here then?
Because he wasn't playing. Like, he there was a.
But that's not true. He was doing this earlier this playoff series, playoffs.
Well, I think part of it is against the Timberwolves, there was a span of time where he wasn't barking at the refs as much. And he was playing a little bit more unselfishly. Mm-hmm. Where
he's barking at the audience. Calling him that word.
Which you're very familiar with.
Yeah. He is one of
we have not that. Forgiven him for that, by the way.
Jimmy Jam that word,
hey,
too.
See, I thought I was special, though. I thought I did something. Nope.
You're not.
Nope.
At all special.
I'm one of thousands.
You're one of many, pal. Yeah.
I'm just a generic one now, yep, I guess.
I guess.
that was wild that he said that.
Insane. Insane. I was trying to help the guy out. Anyways. I think there was a stretch of time in the Western Conference Finals where he didn't, and it kind of looked like, oh, it clicked.
Mm-hmm.
The light bulb came on. Mm-hmm. Watch out. And I think that's why so many people picked Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
But
which was insane, but fine.
But 9 out of 17, more than half the ESPN panel.
Ridiculous.
On, insane.
It's so ridiculous.
Totally insane.
So ridiculous.
Yeah.
what are you here for?
Guy who's never been there, we're going to give him the benefit of the doubt versus the guys
incredible.
Who have been there and we've seen meltdown before. So
they wanted the Celtics to fail so bad.
So bad.
And we don't know why.
This is
their wet dream. Boston?
Germany up 2-0 on Scotland?
Not that. Oh. The Celtics right down the street from Bristol? A massive television on it. This is what that network lives for.
Yeah. But
the only downside is they're playing Dallas and not the Lakers.
But the good news is if Luka is going to quote-unquote melt down again, well, then the offseason talking point that they were going to have with the Celtics is now shifted to the Mavericks.
Mm.
And I think the big difference when you ask how did they get here, the big difference is PJ Washington was effective as hell in the playoffs leading up to this point.
Yeah,
Derek Jones Jr. playing against Jaylen Brown. Remember the Derek Jones Jr. hype coming into the series? It's like, man, he found a home. Look at him go.
Mm-hmm.
Watching Derek Jones Jr. play basketball against Jaylen Brown reminds me of the Cat Williams joke about having a Chrysler 300 because it looks like a Phantom until a Phantom pulls up.
That's one of my favorite jokes.
That is exactly how I felt the first time Jaylen Brown put the ball on the floor and blew past Derek Jones Jr., who is supposed to be this athletic freak, and had nothing for Jaylen Brown. It was like, uh-oh, this might be a problem. He can't do anything to anyone. So I think that's the bigger deal here is, okay, Luka is Luka, and he had his meltdown in Game 3. But the bigger problem for the Mavs is they're just running into this team that is like perfectly constructed and perfectly in tune with exactly what they need to do to beat every opponent.
Mm.
And the Mavs roll guys like just don't. Like, Derek Lively until Game 3 was a non-factor. Daniel Gafford still was a non-factor, and both of those guys were massive against Minnesota. So I don't think it's Luka-centric that they're losing this series. The hope would be like, hey, he levels his game up.
And he hasn't. And that's the thing. And it's not even.
But who? I'm sorry. Who? He? Luka?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And to me, it's not even necessarily things that are quantifiable. Like, it's not he needs to average 37 now or nothing like that. The numbers stay the same. But when dealing with pressure, you know, like series pressure, not physical in-game pressure, but pressure and tough roads, how do you respond? What kind of leader are you in those moments? And he's shown himself to not be the type of leader that handles when everything's going good against Minnesota. It's good, but when things get a little tough, when things get a little rocky and you got to persevere, he's shown that he reverts back to this form of Luka. And the question moving forward is he going to be able to learn from that, change from that, whatever? I don't know. I'm very critical of Luka. Yeah, I'm very critical of Luka. I'm not going to say that he can't or he won't because I don't know. But that's going to be the question. Can he in those moments not break down emotionally and lift others up in those times. Lift PJ Washington up, lift Derrick Jones up. And if they're struggling, you know, bring them along with them. And I don't know if he has that in him or not.
And this is the thing, and this is where I will kind of take a step back, because after it was 2-0, I said it was over. People were like, hey, they just held serve, wait till game 3. And that's fine. That's the correct way to look at it. And with Luka, though, it's like he's only 25. Like, this is a 26? 25?
He's 25.
25? So that's where, yeah, I think there is a little bit of immaturity there. And
but
whether
he's a 10-year pro. Like, that's my problem with that argument. He's not.
But he's different in the finals, though.
Okay.
When you're in this spot and it's like, hey, there's no next series.
But
there's
how many championships has he played
in EuroLeague, though? I mean, I know.
Like, I don't feel like
but...
he's not like De'Aaron Fox at 26. Like, I don't think it's the same thing. Like, this dude has been playing in championship games.
So he does not get
since he was 16 years old.
So he does not get the grace to fall short then?
Fall short in a. He can fall short because I don't think Dallas is falling short. I think Boston is beating them because they're better. Like, they're not underperforming. But the question, the conversation is about Luka Doncic and his behavior and the way he approaches the game of basketball. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to allow, I don't like the idea of him just being 25 being a suitable excuse.
His approach has been the same. His approach and just the way he goes about playing basketball has been the same forever.
And maybe it will never change. Maybe he is who he is. And that's on the table for sure. But I'm also open to the idea that, yeah, hey, let's say they get back next year or the year after, whatever it is, because I don't think they're locked to make it back to the finals by any stretch. Mm-hmm. But let's just say that they make it back next year in a couple years. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't shock me at all if he came out and played differently, got teammates more involved, stopped doing the stupid frustration fouls, stopped trying to draw fouls to make a point. I think that's all a product of this is his first finals. This is his first time. The pressure's getting to him a little bit where maybe it wouldn't in another trip to the finals. But I could be wrong. You guys.
It's impossible for you to be wrong.
Man, you know that's, what? And the killer is.
Reading Wire all the time. You're never wrong.
Well, this is we're in midseason form here because I wanted to ask Kyle. Chris Sims kind of got me just shaking my head. He got me shaking my head, boy.
Yeah,
so
same.
He got to go.
I don't know what you're talking about, but I think you're probably right.
Well, Chris Sims always gets you shaky. Yeah, it doesn't even matter what he said.
The Brock Purdy ranking and then his explanation. He came out and explained it.
That's fine.
It's just, like I said.
Chris Sims is not the end-all, be-all of quarterback analysis.
I have no problem with anybody that.
Or the beginning. Like, he's just a guy who has a job.
I have no problem with anybody that doesn't see Brock Purdy the same way that I do. That's sure. Fine. You're entitled to an opinion. But your reasoning for it has to be sound. And I didn't hear a sound reasoning from him, and I haven't heard a lot of sound reasoning when people think that. He's not a top five quarterback, which I think he is.
Kyle Madsen, the Insiders, 10 to noon here on ESPN 1320. We'll come back. We've got a lot more ahead today. We'll let Kenny vent. He clearly needs to get this off his chest.
It's not even going to be angry.
Okay, pal. Steelin' with Casey on ESPN 1320. Now, ain't going to cuss at the top of his record, but we were... Like Moneybag Yo and Morgan Wallen did a record together, and it's like, all right, this country hip hop crossover thing is really happening right now, and it's a cool little record. Tommy Richmond had a follow up.
Million Dollar Baby.
It's 90 seconds, and I think he's found his little formula, okay. Like a little catchy beat,
yeah,
couple bars, I'm out.
He's out.
Like, I think he got a follow-up here. Like, he got a legit follow-up. Don Tolliver dropped a track with Kodak shout Black. That was pretty nice.
Yeah, shout out Don Tolliver. Like that.
And Why Lord, the second one dropped, and that's a good look. If you don't listen to anything else, go listen to the one with, they got a feature with Charlie Wilson, and then a feature with her. The one with her is.
Anything you do with Charlie Wilson is going to get my attention. That's one of my guys. It's one of my guys. Charlie. Ron Isley, you know, those two, whatever they do.
Just don't fall for it with Morgan Wallen. Don't fall for it.
Wasn't he the one that had like the number one song in the country for like 13 weeks. I think he was the one last year that kept having the number one song in the country when they said hip hop had gone the longest without a number one. I think his song was the one that was.
I don't know what song that is.
I had never heard of it, but I remember seeing his name up there.
Appreciate you. I'm going to find it. Morgan. What's this? He did a record with Post Malone. Bye. Bye, Kyle Madsen. He did a song with Post Malone. Maybe that's it. I don't know. Do y'all know what
I think it was? I think it was straight him, just like a regular. No features. I
have no idea. I try to stay locked in with everything, but
I had never even heard the song. I never heard the song that was number one. I don't know what it was. If it got played right now, I wouldn't be able to tell you. I don't know.
I don't know, man.
I don't know, man. What?
Yeah. Shout out Morgan Wallen. And shout out to all the hip hop artists making records about whiskey. I ain't mad, but salute. Salute.
I mean, they're doing what they can to diversify their portfolio. I'm not going to be mad.
Yeah, it's cool. I'm not mad at the Moneybagg Yo track. I thought it was cool. I had my phone was in my pocket, and I just every Friday I put the new music playlist on, and I just try to give everything an honest listen without any, I'm going to listen. No, just hit play and let me hear what it sounds like. So that came on. I heard Moneybagg, and I was like, okay. And then, someone was singing. I was like, who is that? I was like, that's not who is this? And then that's when I pulled the phone. I was like, Morgan Wallen. All right.
I haven't heard the Moneybagg Yo joint yet, but I haven't heard one of these country hip-hop crossovers that I like yet. So maybe this one will be the first one. But, yeah.
You don't like any music besides hip-hop, right?
No.
I mean, R&B.
I like alternative.
Well, no, you don't. You like the one song by Nirvana that you can't remember the name of.
No, because there's a. I don't stay up to date.
Diamond Dallas Page's theme music. Kenny driving around in a spaceship listening to Alt 95. What is it?
Alt 94.7.
94.7.
I don't stay up to date with it, but like I told you, that guy made like a mix, and maybe these were the greatest, rock or alternative songs ever. But he made a mix of like 3 or 4 CDs for me when I was trying to hear, what are some of the biggest songs. And I liked all of them. I used to listen to that all the time. It's in the same genre, but I love my Afro beats. I love, I love all that. So
no, that's a very different genre.
I'm talking about hip hop, R&B, and other stuff. Yeah. It's akin to it.
Well, I feel like it's different. I feel like Afro beats is different. I had someone ask me if we do an Afro beats show on 102.5. I was like, it's not the craziest idea
it would
I've heard.
Go up. It might go up. I don't know when that would be, but it would kind of go up.
Sunday night, 8 o'clock. I'm sure.
The only thing I don't really listen to is country. But there are country songs that I'm okay with. I don't like I haven't heard a hip hop country fusion that I like yet.
You might like this money. Well, I don't know. Do you even like Moneybagg Yo? Because
I like Moneybagg a lot.
Yeah, you might.
He always come with quality. Always.
I'm just not locked into the country music world.
Like I said, K. Michelle had a song that I liked. A country.
Oh, you know what's my guy's name that everyone Jelly Roll.
He did a song with somebody.
He dropped a track today that stopped me in my tracks. He wrote a song, and I know this is part of his story, but it's a good record. I encourage everybody to listen to it. Or maybe he didn't drop it today. Maybe it's already been out, but I heard it for the first time today.
Who did I see Jelly? Oh, I saw Jelly Roll with my girl Fantasia.
The record's got a song together. The record's called "I Am Not Okay," and it's exactly what it sounds like. You got to hear it. You don't. I'm talking to everybody else. You can. It's heavy. Again, I know that's part of his story.
Yeah.
But it was a heavy record. I was like, whoa. Like, all right, there's going to be millions of people all over the world who can relate to this record. And if he pulls, if he can, you know, turn some people around with that, that's a good look.
Absolutely.
I know Jelly Roll is super popular. I've never been like very familiar. I know he like kind of goes back and forth between hip hop and country and the whole thing.
Yeah.
But he did some good stuff with that I Am Not Okay record.
The songs that I have heard from him, he does a good job with having a message, having a meaning behind it. As long as he did, I think, with Joyner Lucas, was playing a lot. And I'm not crazy about the song, but I greatly appreciate what the song is about. And the couple of times I've heard him, he does that really well.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
What's that?
No, go ahead.
Oh, well, look.
Go
man.
Ahead. Hey. No, go ahead. You want to text me when you're done?
No, it's not even going to be a rant. It's not even going to be a rant. It's just, so we talked about it a little bit the other day. Chris Sims.
Phil probably agrees.
I'm not trying to go Jim Rome on him and then call him out of his name.
The birth of sports media stupidity right there. If Jim Everett had got up and beat the living hell out of Jim Rome on live television, boy, things would be different.
But Chris Sims came out with his top 40 quarterback rankings the other day, and he had Brock Purdy at 17. And I've said a lot of times, because I talked to my buddy who's a Bears fan. Shout out to my man, Allen. We talk all the time. He's not a big believer in Brock. You know, a lot of people aren't a big believer in Brock. I'm like, all right, it's whatever. Like, there's not much. Like, when you say, like, so, he's only good because he has people around him, I don't know what you want me to say.
Like, that doesn't work. So that's the reasoning? Like, because I assume you asked, like, why is he not very good?
No, you mean Alan or Chris?
What?
You said I asked?
Did anyone ask? But combination of names is spectacular.
No, Alan's my friend who I talk with. Chris Sims was just on his show explaining the ranking of 17.
Okay.
So, like, when somebody...
But Alan doesn't like him either.
He thinks he's okay. Like, because I'll say, and people will say, and I'll jump off the deep end, I'm like, I think he's a top 5 to 7 quarterback.
I don't have a problem with that. I don't think I have a problem with top 5. Like, it's always dicey when you do that, but we work through it. Like, I have no problem with that whatsoever.
So he's like, nah, you bugging. It's because he has people around him, the offense. I'm like, all right, whatever. Like, I'm not gonna argue with people about Brock Purdy, because it's clear at this point, if you saw him last year and you still don't think he's that good, you probably never will. And your argument is going to be, I need to see him do it without all those weapons. Okay. All right. Whatever. I don't know what game we're playing at that point. But Chris Sims goes on, he's on a little podcast with Florio, whatever, and he goes on this long diatribe of, you know, Brock Purdy, he misses a lot of throws that people don't see. I watch every pass. I watch 180 passes of him. He misses a lot of throws, and it's not really a big deal because he shakes it off, and everybody shakes it off because Kyle will dial up a play right after that to have somebody wide open. Brock will hit him, and you'll forget about the missed throw because they still get the touchdown, right? And he's like, not everybody has that benefit of Kyle or their coach just being able to dial up another play to get somebody open. And I'm like, all right, man. Number one, this, I don't want to disrespect a guy, but this sounds ridiculous. This sounds stupid. So then.
No, I think it's fair. I mean, it's a fair assessment because clearly Patrick Mahomes is ass because Andy Reid is his coach and he can draw up plays for him. And he played with Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. So he obviously sucks. Like, there's no conversation where he can be the best quarterback in the league because he has a good coach and one of the great tight ends. And he played with the most dynamic wide receiver, perhaps, not in history, but certainly in recent memory. So, yeah. So, okay, Brock Purdy stinks. Patrick Mahomes sucks. Got it.
One of the great offensive minds, to your point with Patrick, one of the great offensive minds the game has ever seen in Andy.
He's arguably the best coach in the game right now and has been for a couple of decades.
It may end up being ever.
Talk about it.
May end up being the greatest coach ever.
It's weird when we – it's really, really weird when we pick arguments that just don't translate when you put them attached to someone else's name.
So he's saying all this stuff, and it's just like, all right, man, whatever. But then he goes into talking about Jordan Love. He has Jordan Love ranked at a 13, right? Jordan Love at 13, four spots ahead of Brock Purdy. I think that's crazy. I think that's asinine, to be honest with you. But that's his ranking, and he talks about Jordan Love, and he's like, oh, man, the things that we saw from him, you know, he thoroughly outplayed Brock Purdy in that game in the divisional round. And Brock Purdy, he should have had seven interceptions in that game in the divisional round. He was terrible, or whatever the case may be. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, what is this guy talking about? What is this guy talking about? Brock Purdy, in that game, did he have a great game? No, I'm not here to say that. But the guy still went 23 of 39, 252 yards, one touchdown. Now we get into should have been picks, could have been picks. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why are we doing that? It wasn't a pick. It is what it is. You compare that to Jordan Love, who I am getting frustrated about this because they act like Jordan Love was just, damn, when did Peyton Manning throw for seven touchdowns against, like, the Texans or something like that?
It was opening night.
Yeah, they
I don't remember what
they
year.
Think that's what Jordan Love did against the Niners. Every time Jordan Love was carving up that defense. Jordan Love was did it. Jordan Love was 21 of 34 for 194 yards, two touchdowns, two picks.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.